from WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. This is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
Mark Mone, welcome back to the program. Always good to have you.
Great to be here. Thank you, Dave.
And you know, we're back into September, and that's always kind of like the ceremonial start for a school year. I know that you were just telling me before we went on the air that you've been a very busy boy the last couple of months. So I don't know if the beginning of September has any significance at all for you.
It does all roll together, but this is the best time of the year from my perspective. I love the fall. I love having the students, the faculty, staff all engaged. There's so much energy. There's, you know, it's that rebirth every year. People often talk about the spring as rebirth, but in the academic world, it's fall.
Yeah. You know, I'm very glad that my kids are out of college and I no longer have to do move-in days. But we have a lot of people on our staff who have college-age kids, and they're all moving their kids into campus. And I think that's really where some of that excitement starts when you're on campus and you see all of that energy.
Yeah, you're right. There's a little bit of anxiety about that, you know, all the transition, all the change. But there is a huge time of excitement and the newness. I love getting into the dorms and helping the families move in. It's fun. I get the big wrap. You know, we've got this big roll of Saran wrap that you go around. I mean, it's industrial size and wrapping these big carts and helping the families that are just, you know, if you think about their day, what it's been like. And like you, you know, I've had kids that have moved in. I've helped them. And when my kids moved in, it was just a lot of unknowns. And so Here we have this incredible team, our staff. The student affairs folks are so positive. And parents tell us over and over and over, you know, I've taken my kid to you know, my other child to this college or that college, and you guys do it so well because it's just how organized it is. We're veterans at this. It's just a lot of fun. And so I enjoy doing that. And then, you know, you get a little sweat on the brow. The thing you fear is when you have a major donor or a major issue that has to be resolved and your phone is ringing and you're stuck in this elevator in the back of
Wait a minute. This sounds like true confessions. Like this might have happened to you at one point.
It absolutely did. Yeah.
You talk about how organized it is, and it's got to be very well organized. And I know most universities, again, having kids gone through different universities, there's a lot of activities that kind of welcome them to the campus. And what happens at UWM other than, you know, getting all of their furniture moved into the dorm?
So the neat thing about that is there are hundreds. I'm not exaggerating. There are hundreds of different activities over the next few weeks in terms of these welcome back events. We have Panther Fest concert with Khalid. We have trolley tours. We have boat tours. There's UWM Day at the park, at Miller Park. There's just countless activities that are really meant to build that camaraderie, build that spirit, really engage folks in the types of things that happen in an urban campus, the types of exposure that you don't get elsewhere. So as much as we're about learning, we know that this is the new home for students, and we want to provide that student quality of life experience that helps with retention, that helps with bonding. We want students to have friends. We want them to feel comfortable with faculty and staff. So we do a lot of engagement types of activities.
Yeah, one of the things I saw here was the Panther Street Festival. What is that?
So Panther Street Festival is often just one of the highlights where we have we block off Maryland Avenue, and we have all sorts of the food trucks, and we have games, a lot of activities, physical activities where people are bouncing. You have these different slides and competitions. You have a little henna tattoo. You do things where you're doing it's kind of like a bungee jump, which I've had a lot of fun with. You know, you do some spinning around and flipping and jumping up in the air. You have a lot of different food, a variety of different food, different vendors that'll come forward for that. So a lot of activities, music, DJs, it's just crowded with it seems like thousands of students that are there. It may be at any given time several hundred students, and ultimately there are definitely thousands throughout the course of the afternoon. And then that all is capped off with the we go down to what is now the American Family, formerly Marcus Amphitheater, and that's where they have the festival continuing with the concert that night.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that does sounds like a lot of fun. Now, in addition to preparing for your bungee jumping, I'm sure that you've got other things on your agenda. And I know one of the things that you do and many chancellors do is a sort of a plenary address, the sort of state of the campus address. And I presume you're doing one this fall as well.
Yeah, September 20th, I'll talk about a number of different things that are going on. And there's just no shortage of activities, but I try to put those together in a manner that is coherent, that brings clear focus on the accomplishments, kind of recognizing where we've been, but also outlining where we're going. And having been in this role now going on my fifth year, I see where that continuity is really important. What are the themes? What are the streams of activities? And we've come a tremendous distance, UWM in general, and even the last several years, in light of a lot of the challenges that higher ed is having, I think it's very helpful to clarify, you know, what is our direction, and talk about things we're doing around alignment and a lot of the positives and how we're addressing always the difficulties that any organization faces. Mm-hmm. So that's a great opportunity to do that because it addresses the internal audience as well as the external.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, you know, you're still working on your presentation, so it's probably not all in complete. It's not all complete. But let me ask you about some of the key areas that I'm sure you may be talking about, and I'm sure will be on a lot of people's minds. First of all, the budget. And we talk about this almost on every program. And you're about to start a new budget cycle in the sense of making the request to through the regions, to the legislature, to the governor, for a biennial budget that is still ahead. So maybe just give us some thought. I know the regions met recently, and give me an idea of what's bubbling there.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really important part of any plenary, for sure, because the budget does determine what we do and how far we can go. And the regions met last week, and I'll divide the budget into really two different parts. There's the operating budget, which we've asked for and received funding from the regions so far. And as you know, that's just the first step. It has to go through the legislature and be approved by the governor. And we want to be very much aligned with where, given that that's the the authority that funds us, we have to be very aligned. So we received approval for the operating budget that includes overall about all in, it's basically roughly $105 million budget with about $82 million in terms of performance-based and outcome-based types of funding opportunities. On the capital budget side, UWM has been asking for funding for a chemistry building to be replaced, and then our student union building to be renovated, and then a Clatchy Annex, so for expansion for our student athletic facilities. And all three of those are approved, and the operating budget for the whole system is what I'm talking about at the $105 million mm-hmm. level. So those all look good at this point. And if that does go through, that would be among the healthier budgets that we've had in a long time. One of the important components of this is a compensation increase that we are seeking, which would be a CPI-based compensation increase. And we also want it to be funded fully compared to where a lot of our compensation increases are funded partially. So the campus has to pick up a significant portion of the raises. Mm-hmm. So that would be ideal. So those are some of the important components. And I'll talk in a little more detail about that in the plenary.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in future programs. But this concept of outcomes-based funding has also become a little bit controversial because there are some who suggest that this is not the way universities should be run. If UWM gets money that is tagged in this way, does that mean that certain programs fade away while you focus more exclusively on outcome-based, which might be more career-oriented or I don't want to say agenda-driven, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're right in the context of the controversy that surrounds oftentimes outcomes and performance-based funding in other states, as we've seen this. Ohio is a classic one, but there's a lot of other states that have gone down that path, and the research is at best mixed. A lot of people say this, in the long run, has not been very beneficial. It can make people chase sometimes the wrong things. And what we've tried to do, and we've been very fortunate in the UW system, is we've been able to determine what are some of the key priorities for each of the different UW system campuses. So at UW Milwaukee, we've looked at this and said, you know, access and research, so student success and research are both important. So relative to a lot of the other comprehensive campuses, we've been able to elevate some of the research outcomes and some of the things that we'd be driving toward in that area. But fundamentally, we think that we have a good mix that focuses on graduation rates, focuses on retention, that looks at success. And one of the things that I've always been very clear about We are not going to sacrifice or compromise programs in certain areas. We're stronger as a complete university, as opposed to one that only stresses this or that. Now, that said, one of the criteria for performance-based funding is the number of graduates in STEM-based fields. But those are essential for a lot of the research that we're doing already. We do a lot of research in the natural sciences, such areas as chemistry, physics, biological sciences that are absolutely heart and foundation of STEM types of disciplines, as well as engineering and a lot of computer science and other technology-related fields. So I think I don't see the performance-based funding taking us in a direction that is that fundamentally different than where we are going and what we've been prioritizing anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure linked to that is the new chemistry building funding.
Yeah.
Because obviously, well, first of all, the chemistry building or the chemistry area has not been renovated in a long time.
That chemistry building has rated for both functionality and usability has been just one of the most challenged science buildings in the entire UW system for a long time. So the fact that we're getting approval at this point, this is the pre-approval for $129 million, is huge. It's something that we've needed, we've asked for in previous biennial budgets, and it just wasn't our turn to get that. So we so far have that. But what was also important and related is that for the first time, at least to any of our knowledge, we have pre-approval for the 21-23 budget for a new engineering building. So that's huge, that's showing you the priority around STEM that we could get for the next biennial budget early authorization. Now, it's hard for one legislature in one biennial session to commit to anything,
right.
But that's something that so far has been approved by the regents, and now we'll see what happens with the next steps. But that is, you're exactly right, the prioritization that's happening across the system right now. And it makes sense if you look at where the state is going and how we can better provide talent for those areas in areas of need.
As you were talking about that, it just dawned on me. Where are all these buildings going? I mean, do you have the room?
Yeah, we do. The first of all, the union renovation is going to not change the footprint of that at all. The Clatchy Annex is a portion. It would basically take a portion of the parking lot. We'd build a bridge across the throughway to get there. So that's going to take no additional space that we don't have. And then the new chemistry building would go in the southwest quad, where we've got a fair amount of both parking lot and some space that's been wide open for a long time. So we do have that. And the existing chemistry building would be repurposed, but it can't be turned into a chemistry building because you don't have it's out of code. So the load bearing and the structure, it can't handle what's needed for a chemistry building, but it can be repurposed for other things. So it will stay up. So
one thing leads to another. Hey, as we're also I got so many things I want to talk to you about, but one of the things related to what's ahead and back to school, you are having a big awards evening for alumni.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, if I remember right, it's October 13th.
12th,
thank you.
12th, it says here.
Thank you. October 12th. The Panther Prowl is October 13th. That's the great 5K run that we have. But the alumni event, we'll have over 20 notable alumni who will be recognized for their accomplishments, some within the last decade. So we call those the graduates of the last decade or the gold award winners, some lifetime achievement, and some just remarkable. And what generally happens is across every school and college, we have fierce competition because so many of our alumni have gone on and done great things. So people will come back from quite a ways away, you know, and we honor and recognize them. And it's usually one of our biggest, most celebratory nights of the year.
That's very exciting. Moving on to another topic, I know this is a transitional year. We've talked in the past about the new authority involving the two-year campuses and UW-Waukesha and UW-Washington County officially becoming connected to University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And that means, and we've talked about this before, that means a lot of transitioning. And so as the doors open to this new fall semester, where do you stand?
We are tremendously excited. We have, as of last week, approval by the regents to rename those campuses after a tremendous amount of work that's happened since last October. We have UW-Milwaukee at Washington County and UW-Milwaukee at Waukesha. And those are powerful brand and name images, and we're all one now. So it's really the theme three campuses, one mission. And it really is focused on improving access that we provide at the traditional UW college price. That price point is much more affordable than what you have in four-year campuses today, so you have that access. Students can stay in their areas, in their geographic, in their homes, in their respective living communities, have their jobs there, and then they can transition to four-year campuses in a much more seamless manner because they're integrated with a four-year campus. So it really is something that we see as positive in so many different ways. The first year now is what I consider to be, in some ways, kind of when you talk about the transition, it is kind of mechanical. How do we work on aligning payroll? How do we work on admission, advising? How do we work through the basic course scheduling, all of that? But then as we look at curriculum, how do we make sure that there's better alignment so that all the courses transfer, that it's absolutely seamless for students to come to UWM four-year or other campuses, which they will continue to do? And how do we then expand? And here's where the real potential is. How do we look at four-year degree, graduate degree, and additional certificate programs in Waukesha, in Washington County, identifying what are the areas where we want to expand? We already have programmatic expansion in nursing. As you know, nursing is one of the most in-demand, the most needed occupations in the state. We have a program that we've had a relationship with Washington County that we're expanding, and we'll be looking at bringing that into Waukesha immediately. So those are the first mover areas. But what about degrees that are in demand in a county like Waukesha, where you have 400,000 residents, a tremendous number of important and growing businesses, a lot of healthcare activities, a lot of engagement? How can we better serve that community? Same thing in Washington County. How do we better serve? And so we're having a lot of great discussions, engaging. But that's, you know, all going to take a little time and getting to know the communities, getting to know the folks. So there's a lot of activities that we've all been involved with. So it's an add-on. It's a lot of work. 160 people have been working for the last 8 months on tremendous amount of intense engagement. We fired up in January, brought a lot of people together, and we've been just really hitting it hard on all the campuses. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of them. They're so dedicated, and this is above and beyond their day jobs. And some of our people have taken 70 or more percent of their time to give to some of the lead roles. And so it's a Herculean lift, and we've done, I think, very well for the time so far.
Yeah, a great advantage for people all throughout this region.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Speaking about kind of regional alliances, I read something here, the Higher Educational Regional Alliance, bringing together all of the two-year and four, I guess most of the two-year and four-year institutions in this region.
Yeah.
So that just kind of builds on this idea of cooperative institutions.
It's all about partnerships, Dave. Absolutely about partnerships. None of us can do it alone. The needs in this region are so great that we can achieve things working together in ways that we can't alone. There's needs that when you have the type of company growth that you have in this region and the workforce shortages, no one academic institution, no one provider of talent is going to get us there. If you go back in time, go back to what we've worked on at UWM since I've been chancellor, M-Cubed is an example. We need to strengthen that pipeline. The K-12 students coming through across the southeastern Wisconsin region, we need more graduates from K-12 to come to colleges. And so we need to better prepare them. We need to get them graduated. So this builds on that. HERA, Higher Education Regional Alliance. HERA stands for all the higher ed institutions in this region banding together and saying, how can we, first of all, have more students graduate from college? We, like most colleges in the country, don't get a lot of our students through in 4 years. In fact, the average nationally is probably in the low 40s, believe it or not. Mm. And so even when you look at six-year rates, you're talking about in the low 70s.
Wow.
How can we improve that? So we've already, one of the first things that we've been working on is working with College Completion America to receive, and we're going to be, we'll be able to talk more about it after October. Some of this is a little under the hat, but we're going to be having greater concentration and focus on programs and real significant activities around more what we call high-impact learning practices and things that all our campuses are doing, but give more focused attention learning from each other. But the other two areas are even more exciting because we haven't been working on them. And those include aligning what we're doing. And let's go back and what we've talked about already in the show. We've got a lot of growth in the region. that's needed, whether it's Foxconn or the healthcare nursing shortages or existing engineering shortages. If we can work together to better align the needs, and so if we look at not only needs today, but we project out, we model in 3 years and 5 years, and we bring that information to college students and to academic programs, parents and families, you can project better where the opportunities are. If your interest is in really helping make sure that you've got internships and jobs. So that type of alignment is at work. And then the third component is, well, what about innovative academic programs? So accelerating degrees in engineering or nursing, or putting things together, not just in degree areas, but in certificates and packaging learning around what's needed when for existing workers. So that's this concept, upskilling, badging, certificate programs. So there's a lot of things that we are going to be working on together. And we've got two-year institutions. All the technical colleges are at the table. We've got most of the privates, and we've got the four-year UW institutions. We've got 16 higher ed institutions representing between 97 and 98% of all higher ed students at the table. So we've got the leadership engaged, and we're now in the process of fleshing out the goal groups and working on this with tremendous energy and focus.
So I'm going to ask this in a polite way, but I think you'll understand the spirit of what I'm asking. How in the world have you and your colleagues been able to get all of the leaders of all of these institutions around the table? Because each one has an ego. Each one has their own goals for success for their university. The demographics are not working in favor of any higher educational institution right now. So how do you – what's the reason why everybody's willing to come together right now?
Well, I would add to the compounded interest, the history, the issues with these campuses having their own boards and their own directional.
Right.
You're absolutely right. I think the answer to your question is it's the selflessness around recognizing this region is going to be better off and our students will be better served. Our students, when I say that, I'm not talking about UWM alone. I'm talking collectively. Our region and our students will be better served by us working together. I'll give you an example of one activity. We have something we've been engaged in for the last several years called the Commons, where students learn about innovation, entrepreneurial program activities, both for existing companies as well as for new businesses and startups. So they get great training and focus and be able to rub shoulders with successful startup companies, entrepreneurs, investors, as well as established companies, the Manpowers, the Kohls, the Briggs & Strattons, others that have been engaged. That is across campuses, and students learn from and with each other across our campuses. And we plan on doing a lot of activities like that that bring together focus and efforts. And I think that the pie is so large that there's room for everybody to grow from this. So mm-hmm. Selflessness.
Well, I was thinking back to the program we had last month, where we were talking about the data project involving Marquette University and Northwestern Mutual. And, you know, and I sat when we were recording that program last month thinking about how unique that was, that the leaders of the two major institutions in Milwaukee were sitting together and working on this with a corporate leader. And I realized that you and Mike Lovell have a history together and a friendship together. But, I mean, that's kind of unique. And the fact that a business leader was intimately involved in bringing mm-hmm. the two of you together around this initiative, maybe that does carry over to something like what you're talking about now.
I would say that you're going to see many more activities like that. You're going to see partnerships emerge that draw from the interaction across our academic institutions, because we all do things well, but we don't do everything well. There's no mm-hmm. one institution that has it all. But when you pull us together, there's a lot of synergy. There's a lot of activities. I'll give you a quick example. We haven't historically recruited college students very often from Waukesha County Technical College. But conversely, Milwaukee Area Technical College is our largest provider of transfer students. So you look at this and you say, this doesn't make sense. There's a large number of students at Waukesha County Technical College. Well, there's this little wrinkle. WCTC, just like Gateway, they're not legislatively approved to offer the 200-level degree credit that MATC is. But through HERA, through us working together, we can find ways to provide broader authorization, broader approval that can potentially open doors up for a lot more two-year students to get into four-year colleges in a much more seamless manner. So that type of partnership, businesses are saying, this is great for the walls, because we have employers in Waukesha that say, I would like to have students from WCTC go on and get their engineering degree at UWM or at other institutions, and it's not that easy for them to do that. So those are the types of things when we talk about innovative programming and discovering what we can do together. The key is having the presidents and chancellors together, rubbing shoulders, talking through those types of issues. So that's what HERA is all about. HERA, by the way, Dave, a little side joke here. HERA, if you study your Greek mythology, was a very powerful leader. And she her means might have been a little devious, but the alternative was Rhea. Rhea is regional higher ed educational allowance. Rhea just wasn't as powerful. So we really like the HERA, the HERA mythology myth. And so that's what we're going with. And I think you're going to see, first, the coordination across academic institutions. And then I should mention that at the table, we not only have academic institutions, we have the Milwaukee Urban League. We've got the Greater Milwaukee Committee. We have M7, part of Metro Milwaukee Association of Commerce. And then we have the two STRIVE networks, Milwaukee Succeeds and Racine Higher Expectations, at the table. So you have employers, you have linkages with K-12. You've got a lot of important voices that are bringing things together that we think this region will benefit from tremendously.
Mm-hmm. So we're just about out of time, but I always like to just, you know, poke into your calendar. Have you had any time off this summer? Any bike rides? Any runs? Any fun stuff?
It's been a wildly busy summer, but I always have to make time for the riding, and I do some riding and swimming. The running's a little bit off kilter right now, but I've had the ride to the barns recently. That was a great one. That's a Tall Pines Conservancy group that puts that together. I went to Colorado for a vacation a week and a half ago, and we did some spectacular riding there. It's just gorgeous, great hiking. And then we'll be doing a Peninsula Fall Century. It's obviously a century, 100-mile ride. So we've got some great rides and been having some fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems to me like you just need a little quiet time at home, though. I don't know how we build that into your calendar.
That will happen at some point. I'm not sure when. It's not going to be for the next couple of months. Every weekend is really booked.
I bet it is. Hey, Mark, thanks very much for coming in, as always. Good talking with you. We'll have you back next month.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Mark Mone has been our guest in conversation here on the Chances Report. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.